on Friday.
Amen. Amen. I think I'm at church every Friday. Which is good, because it's a lot better than where I used to be on Friday, and some of you too.
Amen.
Amen. When the pastor mentioned that song, and more verses, I was in a church in New York City. Song leader was a real good fella, and he was an aerobic song leader. I mean, he got into it. He got you into it. There's more sound doctrine in that hymnal than there is coming across the pulpit in most of the churches in America. Amen. That's why we love it. It stirs the heart. And this brother was up there, and the song was Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. And like a lot of Charles Wesley's songs, there's a lot of verses. And sometimes we'll go to a church, and they'll say, "What's again? Can it be?" And there'll be different verses than I'm used to, and then we've been doing this long enough now. I don't know how many there is, but they're all good. Yeah. Well, he got a hold of this Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing, and we sang it. And then he said, "There's about 15 more verses to that." And he pulled out a stack of papers, and he got a couple young men, and he had that sheet passed out, and we sang every one of them. It's good, man. I'll tell you what, if you can't preach after that, that sets the stage, man. That makes the heart, gets the heart ready. Amen. It is good to be here tonight. What a privilege. Whoever was praying, I'm humbled that this church would let me. You know, somebody said, you know, you get called to preach, you make some friends, your friends will let you preach once, maybe even twice. This is the sixth time. I was counting it up, and we came here in 07 and every 2 years since, and it's a privilege. It really is, and I don't take it for granted, and I appreciate the friendship of this church. Take your Bible tonight and go to Luke chapter 15, and this is a very familiar passage, and heard a message out of this chapter one time. The guy took a little different slant than the normal, kind of put more emphasis on the older brother than he did the prodigal, who we'll be talking about tonight. I don't know, who was that? I think it was at a blowout one time, maybe. You know, some of you might remember that. How about now? Is it on? Do I have to start over? I don't even remember what I said already. Amen. But praise the Lord. Luke chapter 15 tonight. Let's read verse 11. I'm going to talk about this fella that we've come to know as the prodigal son. And verse 11, and it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." A certain man had two sons. Doesn't give their age. Doesn't say he had one good son and one rebellious son. Doesn't say he had one hard-working son and one lazy son. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say he had one spiritual son and one worldly, carnal, flesh-bag son. Doesn't even say he had one saved son and one unsaved son. The verse just says a certain man had two sons. And then the passage goes on to talk about predominantly the one that we'll focus on tonight, and that's who the passage deals with, although there certainly is a message about the other one too. And there's a message about the father too. Amen. Real serious one. But tonight we're going to talk about the younger son, verse 12. "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." So that's the one we're going to emphasize tonight, the younger son. Let's pray again. Father, I love you. I thank you for grace. Amen. Oh, my soul, I'm reminded on a daily basis, and I need to be, of your infinite grace. And Lord God, I pray tonight for wisdom, leading of the Holy Spirit, discernment, and the ability to say something your spirit can bear witness to. Because beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, what we all need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. And so, Lord, I don't know the needs. I don't know the circumstance, situations. I'm just going to follow your leading. And when I've done that successfully, it's never been wrong. It's wrong when I get off on my own, and I don't want to be. So I submit the message to you and commend the service to you and pray and ask, Lord God, you do with it as only you can do. And I'll thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Okay, verse number 12 again. Let's start it. It says, and the younger. Certain man had two sons, and then now we're going to talk about the younger. And let me say something about youth. What an exciting time of life it is to be young. Amen. Strong, healthy. Amen. Your whole life ahead of you. Amen. What a blessing. Could I tell you, folks, enjoy it. Because this growing old thing is not for wimps. I got news for you. Amen. But it says there about this, the son we're dealing with, he's the younger of the two. And I'm reminded, I heard somebody say one time, there's no such thing as a spiritual teenager. I tell you what, you can almost argue there's no such thing as a spiritual anybody. Amen. But I'm reminded when I heard that of David, where it said in 1 Samuel 17 that he was but a youth when he took on Goliath. Amen. And even in the passage, it didn't make sense because Saul told David he was a man of war from his youth. Amen. And what David proved he was too. Amen. Let me tell you something. My dad's a combat veteran in World War II. I preached his funeral a few years back over a flag-draped coffin with confidence. I will see him again. Amen. My dad was drafted in World War II, and I got thinking about it. And you know who, I mean, the biggest armies in the world, two most powerful forces in the world, Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany, both tearing the world apart at the same time in the two different theaters. And the United States took on both of them at the same time. And friend, we didn't even really have much of a standing army when that war started. If you ever get a chance to go to the World War II Museum in New Orleans, they've got a great illustration that shows how many troops we didn't have compared to the enemies. And let me tell you about, you know who won World War II, but I want to tell you what the military in 1941 to 1945 was mainly made up of. American young people. That's who gets drafted. That's who gets sent overseas. That's who answered the call and rose up and took on two armies that didn't take the United States seriously at all. Amen. It is an exciting time of life, but I want to mention to you that it's also a dangerous time. It's a dangerous time because of inexperience. It's a dangerous time when you're young, and I didn't say teenage. I said young, and I'm 64, so that's most of you, so pay attention. And amen, not all of you, amen. But it says in Proverbs 7, in verse 7, and beheld among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. And it doesn't say he was stupid, anything like that. Doesn't say he was wicked, doesn't say that. It says he was void of understanding. And Proverbs chapter 9 would tell you that knowledge of the holy is understanding. So you can be pretty smart by the world standard, but inexperienced when it comes to the spiritual matters, therefore it's a dangerous time. And you need to be careful about making life-altering decisions without much prayer, number one, and sound counsel. Amen. In other words, don't ask your peers. When I was 16, 17, 18, I was pretty sure I knew just about everything. But pretty sure that my parents' goal in life was to make sure I didn't have any fun. Amen. And I found that they haven't found a cure for that disease yet either, by the way. And so, if I thought I knew everything, and what I didn't know, surely I could ask one of my friends. Boy, looking back, what a ridiculous philosophy. Amen. I say it again, be very careful about making life-altering decisions without
much prayer. Why much prayer? Because the Holy Spirit of God will never lead you down the wrong path, and it'll never lead you contrary to the Bible, ever. And sound counsel is important, and that's parents, and that's your pastor, and that's maybe others in your life, amen, that'll steer you right according to the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you something, and you know it too. We live in a day and age where there are more sources out for your affection and your attention than ever. And that's why even Christians, hey, praise the Lord, you're saved and everything, but I'm going to tell you what, you're not exempt at all. And so the verse says there in 12, it says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me, give me. You know, I watched a clip this afternoon of Patrick Henry's speech given on March 23rd, 1775, at the Second Virginia Conference of something or other, and this was leading up to the declaration of war against England. And you know what the battle cry of that day was? And of course you do. Give me liberty or give me death. And he said that at a time where that was, amen, what was at risk, amen, for sedition, death. But it's not the battle cry of American freedom anymore. Now it's just the battle cry of the flesh. Oh, yeah, we live in an entitlement age where the flesh screams, give me welfare, give me health care, give me education, give me birth control, give me abortion on demand. That's the day and age in which we live. Amen. Gay rights. Gay marriage? Seriously? You know, I'll tell you something. My personal thought on this thing is this right here. The Supreme Court of the United States of America seriously needs to be ashamed of itself. That's my stand on that thing right now. We were going through checking out, I think it was a Walgreens, and there was a Time magazine there, and the cover was interesting. It had a young girl, she was laying on the floor kind of thing, and dressed, you know, like, you know, people dress, and lost people dress, and she's holding up her smarter than she was phone, and she's taking a selfie. Could I tell you, that word makes me nauseous. The idea of people walking around taking pictures of themselves. What is wrong with this picture? Yeah, I'll tell you what's wrong. You're what's wrong. Amen. Now, the caption on the magazine that evidently probably sold a trillion copies that week or month or whatever, it said, the me generation. Amen. Amen. And that's what we got going on here. He says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. Amen. That's what I made me thought of. Listen. Now, I'm not in case you were wondering, in case there was any remote possible misconception, I'm not a fan of social media. In case you're vague on that. There is one major gigantic virtue to it, though. I have to say that. Gives me something to preach against. I love that. Amen. But, okay, in all fairness, amen, because we already took the offering, right? Because I know that quenches the spirit. Right now, but anyway, I may be wrong. Don't correct me because I don't really care that much. But I'm pretty sure that one of the key words for Facebook is like. Right? I mean, I'll read an article and it'll press like. What? I mean, I don't even get it. Amen. But it seems that this generation, whatever that means, actually. It has an unbelievable need for personal and constant affirmation. Like me. Don't like me. I'll need counseling if you don't like me. Like me. Like. Listen, I have seen people bragging rights on social media revolve around how many, here you go, friends. Right? Is that the word? Friends. My Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Let me tell you something. You wound somebody on Facebook, and they'll unlike you. Is that what it's called? Delete. I don't know. I don't care. Amen. Defriend. I have it written down. Defriend you. I had to write it down. I don't have any experience at this. Some of you could have helped me, though, I'm sure. Amen. But this gal, my wife read an article about a gal, and she was, I think she had been to college. She had a good job, and she's getting ready to turn 30. Ought to be 30 again, right? Anyway, and I remember when Dr. Ruckman said to me, well, Spurgeon, I ought to be 60 again. Amen. But this girl, she's turning 30, and she wants to have a little party, a little birthday party at a restaurant like Applebee's or something like that. And she's trying to fill out a friends list to invite, you know. And she realized that all of her friends were all virtual. I mean, they were all imaginary. That's what that word means to me. I don't know what it means to you. Amen. But they were all, and you know, they're all over the world. And this girl couldn't get five people together to sing happy birthday to her because her life was on the internet. Amen. Here's what really gets me. I've heard people complain because they were, what's interesting is I know people that were in churches together and didn't like each other till they got odds with the church, and then they became friends. I'm going, they didn't like each other when they knew each other. Now they're communicating. That's amazing to me. What's really amazing to me is that when people get defriended, they get offended. You got defriended by somebody you don't even know, and that bothers, what? Boy, I'll tell you what, man, I got saved just in time. Amen. I'm glad, because I don't have the energy to try to figure any of that out. Don't try to explain it to me. I might explain some things to you. Amen. And this fella, he says this. It says, give me. This is just the introduction. I'm not to the message yet. It goes on, and it says, the portion of good that falleth to me. There it is again. And I'll give the kid credit. He wasn't asking for a handout. He wasn't asking for a loan. He was asking for his inheritance. Listen, I know Jewish customs a little bit different than maybe what we're used to, but I'm pretty sure, as much research as I was able to do on this, I'm pretty sure the inheritance didn't go out until the guy was dead. And he's asking for it in advance. He can't wait for his father to die. He wants his money now. Amen. And I don't know, wonder what his dad thought about that. I know this, the kid didn't care. He wasn't thinking about his dad's feeling. He wasn't thinking about his family. He wasn't thinking about his future. Amen. He wasn't thinking about his testimony, that's for sure, because we'll see in the passage that didn't work out too well. Quite a while, anyway. And the verse ends with these words, and he divided unto them his living. The dad's living. Kid didn't earn anything. Amen. I'll give you three things about it now. That was the introduction. Number one, now look at verse 13. Number one is this right here. He did what he wanted to do. It says in verse 13, the beginning of the verse says this. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Not many days. Okay, here you got a young man, the younger son. He's living in his father's home. Amen. And now all of a sudden he's got a bunch of money and his inheritance. And he's going to set out. And there wasn't any like, oh, wow, cool. What am I going to do now? It didn't take him. It says not many days after. Why? How was it so easy for him to get moving so fast? I'll tell you why. His heart was already there. His heart was already in the far country. That book says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. And I see it all over every week somewhere in church. There's people, they're there. They're there physically. But boy, in a week of preaching, I look around and I wonder how many's heart is already somewhere in the far country. And that's a very real possibility. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And sure enough, they are. And so number one tonight is, he did what he wanted to do. He wanted his inheritance, he got it, and he took off. He took off, it didn't take him long, he took off for the far country. And now we're in verse 13, and we'll pick it up where I stopped, and we'll see how that goes for him. And we'll start at the beginning. It says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The word riotous in the context means luxurious, wanton, licentious, and festive indulgence. You want me to boil that down to a Reader's Digest definition for you? 100% flesh. That's what that means. Amen. Now, you got a Bible that says, you got a King James Bible there. I'm sure it says this in Romans 8, verse number 8. It says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, this guy wasn't interested in pleasing God. But that's what the Bible says. Now, that's not what the world says. Here's what the world says. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Here's the problem. The world is always wrong. You know what that means? That means you might eat, drink, and be merry and waste your substance on riotous living and not die. What happens then? I'll tell you what happens then. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what happens. You begin to reap what you sow, and I'll tell you, sometimes that right there make you wish you were dead. He did what he wanted to do. He got his money, took off, didn't take him long. He made his journey, took his journey, it says, into a far country. But then he ran out of money, and then he ended up doing what he didn't want to do. Number two, he did what he didn't want to do. Look in verse 14. And when he had spent all, notice the timing. You know, God is a God of timing. He's never in as big a hurry as I am. Amen. And the only time I'm glad he's not quick is when judgment is due, and I'm real thankful for his mercy and patience and long-suffering then. You ought to be too. Amen. But notice the timing. God, I've said it before, and I've seen it come true many times. God is a God of timing. So watch the timing. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, number one, there arose a mighty famine in that land, number two, and he began to be in want, number three. Amen. Spent all. I don't know how much he got. Evidently, he thought it was enough to last him a little while. Boy, I'll tell you what, you learn fast. It doesn't take long to spend all. And it didn't, it said a mighty famine rose in the land. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and things changed quickly. And boy, things might be looking good one day, and you look up the next day, and circumstances have changed, and he didn't plan for that. He had spent all, and the interesting thing about it is the famine didn't even start till he was broke. I mean, he didn't even get an indication. Maybe I better back off. Maybe I better slow down. Maybe I better put some away. He was just going full tilt boogie and woke up, and it's like, uh-oh. And that's the way it goes. Uh-oh. Yeah. He began to be in want. And I just looked at that, and I thought, well, you know, hot shot, when you were making all your grand plans and had it all figured out, weren't taking advice from anybody, and weren't concerned about anybody but yourself, I was thinking of this kid, wonder if that was part of the plan. Began to be in want. And truth of the matter is, and the passage proves it out, this younger son had to learn some of life's lessons the hard way, didn't he? And it ought to sound familiar. Because some of you did too. Well, I know I did. And I say all that to say this. There might be somebody in here that's still bound and determined. I'm glad you're in church tonight. But I'm here to tell you tonight, somebody in here might be bound and determined yet to learn some life lessons the hard way. You hear this kind of preaching, you get counsel, you get advice, and you're blowing it off because your heart's already in the wrong place. I'm here to tell you something tonight. You do better. You don't have to learn everything the hard way. Listen to the voice of experience. Listen to the word of God. There's a better way than the hard way. Did you hear what I said tonight? There's a better way. I'm going to tell you what it is. Hold your finger there and go to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. It said he began to be in want. In Matthew 14 and verse 30, you know the story, I trust that you do. And Peter stepped out on the water in verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Catching it? That young man began to be in want. When Peter was beginning to sink, he cried saying, "Lord, save me." That's the time to cry out to. Amen. Peter's walking on the water. He got his eyes off the Lord. He stepped out by faith. He got his eyes off the Lord. I get all that. But I'm going to tell you what, Peter had no sense that when his ankles got wet, he knew there was a problem. And he cried out. He didn't wait till he's going down the third time. Amen. He didn't wait till he stressed out his family, stressed out, you know, and tried everything but God. Peter had enough sense to cry out when he was beginning to sing, to cry out, "Lord, save me." And I say that to show you this. This young man, he had his ideas. They didn't work out so well. The Bible says he began to be a want. I'm here to tell you tonight, that would have been a good time to admit to himself that he blew it and turned around and headed home. Why didn't he? Why didn't he? I'm going to tell you what. Same reason some of you didn't head back and get right with God first chance God gave you. Pride. That's why. That's pride. I don't know why it's so hard for us to admit to ourselves we're wrong when we're wrong so often. I don't get it. Amen. You know what? We don't, even if we've come to the place where we have realized within our own spirit we blew it, we still won't go back because we're afraid to hear, "I told you so." This kid would have done well to go home right here, but he didn't. Verse 15, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country." What country is that? I don't know, but it was far. And it was far from the father that loved him. And it was far from home. And it was far from his people. And it was far from people that believed like he did, like he was raised to believe. And it was that far country. And he joined. You know what that tells me? That tells me that pride will cause you to make some bad decisions. Sometimes even when you know better. Amen. Instead of going home to his own country and the people that loved him, he went, the Bible said, joined himself with some pagan. Now, chances are this guy was maybe a buddy from his high-rolling days. Let me tell you something. When you're high-rolling, you'll have all kinds of friends. Amen. No shortage. But this guy here sent him into his fields to feed swine. Well, what a nice thing. Yeah, he even had a friend that would was gonna be there for him. That kind of terminology makes me sick. I'll be there for you. What does that mean? What does that mean? Be there. Come on. Amen. But this guy, he's gonna help him out when no one else would. He said, "Yeah, man, go into my field and feed my swine." Boy, isn't that a friend, huh? Let him feed his slop. I like that word, slop. His hogs. Wow. It says in verse 16, "And when he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, no man gave unto him." Now, I grew up in northern Ohio, and we got corn. And I don't care what you people from Iowa think. You don't have it all. We have some corn in Ohio. And when fall came around August and that Silver Queen came ripe, and we'd grill it, man. My dad, he'd put that on the grill, and But in my day, what we did, now maybe you'd do it different, but when, what we would do is we would peel the husks off, just eat the corn. I mean, when I grew up, isn't that way here? You guys probably have snow corn. Where did the word snow peas come from? Anyway, because here's why we threw the husks away. Because they're garbage. This kid, he's a Jewish kid. He ain't supposed to be around hogs anyway. And he's ready, willing. He fain would fill his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He is willing. He went from a good home to riotous living, boy, for a little while. He was a big shot. Now he's in a hog pen. I'm going to tell you what, nothing smells worse than a hog pen. We came out down there in Missouri a couple weeks ago, and we came out one night, and the way the wind was blowing, and one of the women said, "Listen, you can smell a hog farm." And I said, "That ain't no hog farm. I mean, it was manure. It was cows. It had an odor. But ain't nothing smells worse than a hog farm." Amen. Take my word for it. If you don't know, I don't care. Amen. But this kid's in a hog pen willing to eat garbage. And you know what I know and what I see? This story, this scenario here, it's been in the Bible in English for 400 plus years, and it still plays itself over and over and over again. You're in and you're out in good Christian homes. This kid was raised right, but he has bound and determined to do what he wanted to do, and it shows his lack of concern for his testimony and even his family's feeling. You know why you never see the mother mentioned in this passage? You know why? You know why? I'll tell you where she was. She was by her bed praying for this kid the whole time he was gone. She wasn't on the front porch with dad looking for him to come back. Women handle this stuff different. Amen. Ask me how I know. I grieved the Irish lady's heart for many years, but I'm glad she never quit praying for me. I really mean that. Amen. But anyway, so he did what he wanted to do, and I'm sure that a slopping hog wasn't in there, starving at the same time. I'm sure that wasn't in the list. I think he now he's doing what he didn't want to do. But I want to end this on a happy note, because, you know, I'm one of them happy guys. You know, I want make you feel better about yourself and everything, like Joel Osteen, like. And is that going to be on the internet? Take that off the internet. Okay. All right. I don't care. And it says in verse 17. Now look what it says. And when he came to himself, that's a good day in a human's life. You know that? It says, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." You know, he's saying all the right things right there. But you know what I've noticed? A lot of people that were raised right know to say all the right things when the rug gets pulled out from under them. Amen. So let's see what happens then. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. So far, so good. He said he's going to do it, and he's doing it. Amen. He didn't chicken out. I'm sure he was probably a little nervous about how he would be received. I wonder what kept him going. I got an idea. Maybe the stench of that hog pen in his nostrils helped him not to chicken out. Let me tell you something tonight. The stench of the hog pen God pulled me out of helps me keep my face toward Jesus Christ, helps me stay in church, helps me put this stinking flesh down. I didn't leave nothing back there. I don't want to go back there for nothing. I would to God more people would learn from folks like me that did everything wrong. Amen. Verse 20 continues, and we'll start again. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, how in the world did he see him a great way off? Real simple. He was looking for him. He was looking for him. Probably sitting on the front porch looking down a long lane every single day. I don't know for sure, but I know this. And he saw him. He ran. It says he fell on his neck. He had compassion. That ought to ring familiar with some of you. Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on you. Yeah, amen. That's a good place for an amen. And the kid held his promise. He held true to his promise, verse 21. And he began the speech that he had rehearsed, and he must have meant it, because he said there, verse 21, and the son said unto him, the Father, I have sinned against heaven. Is that true? Yes. And in thy sight. Is that true? Yes. I'm answering because you guys are a little slow, so I'm going to keep moving here. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Is that true? Absolutely. Here's the deal, though. By the time he got to that last part, the father was no longer listening. He wasn't hearing any of that no more worthy stuff. He had something else in mind. Look at verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. He didn't even make him take a shower first. Didn't I preach on that last night? But this boy had more than a ring around the collar. Okay, moving on. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. I don't know how long his younger son was gone, but a fatted calf only stays a calf so long. Amen. Wonder how many they fattened up to be ready for this day. I don't know. Maybe one. Maybe this all took place in one season. I don't know. But I know this. Now we know from the passage that the older brother wasn't thrilled about the younger coming back. But he's not the only one who wasn't happy that the younger son came home this day. That fatted calf wasn't too thrilled about it either. Here's what the father said. He said, and bring hither the fatted calf, verse 23, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. He was right. He wasn't worthy, but he was still his son. Can you imagine what he must have thought when he saw his father running to meet him with open arms, tears streaming down his face? Don't you know all that apprehension and fear and doubt would have melted away? What a beautiful picture of God's grace. Amen. It's the same way with us. We sin. Might as well amen. We sin and we're no more worthy. I tell you what, we never were. Amen. But the Lord welcomes us back with open arms, time after time, gives us chance after chance after chance. Could I say, what a God we have. Amen. Don't you ever get over that. Boy, the world won't treat you like that. Your friends won't treat you like that. God will treat you like that. You ever get real? You ever come to yourself? Be better to do it while a preacher's preaching. Be better to do it while the Spirit of God is bearing witness to the Word of God. Be better to do it here than wait till you get into a scenario like this. And God will be good to you then too. But why do we insist on making it take such things? Let me tell you something about my God tonight. He's given somebody another chance tonight. This Friday night, you might be in here tonight. You might be right where this younger son was. And let me tell you something. I'm not mentioning ages. I'm not talking to teenagers. I'm not talking to 20-somethings. You might be in here tonight, and you may be here physically, but your heart is out there somewhere. That's who I'm talking to. Only thing on your mind is what you want to do. I'm telling you, God is giving you another chance. And you need another chance because you're about to make a big mess. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm going to tell you how deceitful your heart is, child of God. You'll convince yourself that you can play around with sin and you'll be the exception. Listen, you won't be the exception. Here's what you'll be. Besides breaking your mother and father's heart, and anybody that loves you and cares about you and prayed for you, you'll break their heart. You'll be that. But I'll tell you what else you'll be. You'll end up being an illustration. You'll be an illustration on how not to do it. And could I just tell you, speaking for these other preachers in here tonight, we had plenty of material. We don't need any more bad examples to use. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you're playing around with sin, take it from somebody that knows. It is not playing around with you. It is setting you up for a big fall. You know what the problem is? You'll take somebody down with you. Your flesh will go down kicking and screaming, and you'll drag somebody down with you. Shame on you. Shame on you. You don't take the opportunity God gives you in His infinite mercy and His Holy Spirit bearing witness on your heart to get to an old-fashioned altar, to find a prayer closet, to get honest before God. When your heart starts to wander, the songwriter said it right, we're prone to wander, but the book says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, He'll make a way to escape. He'll make a way to escape. And He does. And it's run. Come to yourself and come to Christ. That's the way. Devil, back off closer you get to the throne. Sin won't exist there. You won't justify yourself anymore. You'll just be glad that the arms are open. Amen. Let me tell you, somebody in here tonight might already be in the far country. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't need a bus ticket. You don't need a plane ticket. You don't need a passport. You can be right here in church and your heart be long gone. Not just longing for it. I'm talking about long gone. How do you get to the far country? Click. Click. No need to say no more. Everybody here knows what I'm talking about. You better be careful. You better be careful. Sin's not playing around. It's time. Hey, maybe somebody in here tonight, God ordered this. If it's for you, I say to you, if your heart's straying, get it right. If you're gone, come home. Bible says in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. Time to return. Time to head on back. It says, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Oh, I like that word. That's much better than parole. Pardon. You know what pardon is? What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. It don't get no better than that, brother. Amen. But, boy, it's your move. He made every move necessary. It's your move. It's your move. Time to do what you need to do. You know what keeps you from doing that? You need to swallow your pride. I know it's hard. You're going in one way or another sooner or later. Boy, wouldn't it be better to do it now? Wouldn't it be better to do it now than when you got the stench of this world on you? When you got so much garbage in your head, you can't even close your eyes when you pray, like me? Don't let it take that stuff. I would to God somebody to talk to me half as straight when I was your age as I'm trying to talk to you right now with the right reason, out of love, out of concern for you. Head home. It's good. It's good to be right with God. It's good to be forgiven. Amen. Oh boy, I tell you, your flesh and the devil and even this world might throw your mistakes in your face. But I'm trying to invite you to get right with a God that won't do that. He'll never do that to you. He'll say, come on, come on. Just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. He'll say, okay, all right. Put it behind you. Let's go. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. You're in here tonight and you've never gotten saved because you're afraid it'll interfere with what you want to do. I sat in church as a kid. Man, I grew up in a good, clean Christian home, listened to preaching. It wasn't like we get. I'll give it that. But I'm not going to blame that little Methodist church because I went astray. That's my fault. Yeah. Amen. And there's things I wanted to do, and there's places I wanted to go. And I thought if I give my heart to Jesus Christ, I'd just be bored the rest of my life. Could I tell you something? I've been living for the Lord for 26 years, and I'm having more fun than I ever had. Yeah, I'm serious. Without all the regrets.
Yeah.
I got better friends than I ever had before. Amen. I got a better life than I ever could have imagined. If you're in here tonight, Friday night, and you're not saved yet, maybe you've got somebody fooled. You probably don't have yourself fooled. And you're not going to make a move toward God because there's some things you want to do first. That's not uncommon. I got news for you. You're void of understanding. You're clueless. The book says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't put salvation on your to-do list. You get it done. And if you're in here and you're not saved because you're afraid it'll interfere with what you want to do and your grand scheme of plans, things change fast. You have no guarantee you'll make it home tonight. But I'm going to tell you what, you step into eternity before you put your sin under the blood of Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity doing something you don't want to do. Weep and wail and gnash your teeth and the whole time full well knowing you didn't have to go there. That Jesus Christ did pay it all. And he did. He paid it all. Amen. If you're not saved, it's time to return to the God that made you and call on his name and he'll forgive you. If you're in here and you are saved, and buddy, there no generation has been under the onslaught of the devil and his devices like this one, and if the Lord tarries, the next one will be worse. They're working on new things all the time. New things to rob our affection and our attention. Amen. I beseech you tonight, sell out. Get it right. Come forward. Ask God to help you if you're tempted. Who's not? Every man is tempted. There's safety. There's a haven. There's a haven of rest under the shadow of his wings. And there's room. And boy, I tell you what, I'd flood to that place if I felt tempted. Amen. Let's all stand. I'm done. This kid did what he wanted to do, and he made a mess, and he ended up doing some things he didn't want to do. But thank God, before it was over, he did what he needed to do. Now, I'm wondering, maybe you're in a scenario similar to any part of that message. Are you going to do what you need to do and get that thing straightened out here and now this night? God has sent a warning to you. He did it.